Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington, working on this program very remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Tuesday, March 22, 2022. The U.S. government imposes sanctions on a paramilitary group in Sudan.
It's certainly long overdue. The evidence around abuses this unit committed, including our own research, which indicate in at least two instances in November 17th of the last year and January 17th.
And two South Sudan signatories to the 2018 peace agreement are locked up in a struggle for the leadership of the country's unified forces.
We cannot graduate this force without unifying the command.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Sudanese activists and human rights defenders are welcoming Monday's decision by the U.S. Treasury Department to sanction Sudan's Central Reserve Police for allegedly using excessive force against peaceful protesters in Sudan. Rights groups in Khartoum say the U.S. and other actors must take further measures to sanction military leaders in Sudan, push for accountability, and ensure restoration of democratic rule in the country. Nabil Biagio reports for VOA from Washington.
The Sudanese researcher at Human Rights Watch, Mohammed Osman, says Sudan's Central Reserve Police is a militarized police unit that has been oppressing Sudanese protesters since the October 25th coup. Osman says the CRP has a well-documented record of abuse during the 2018-2019 peaceful protests that led to the overthrow of Sudan's longtime military ruler, Omar al-Bashir, and even before that in conflict areas in Darfur and Kordofan.
The move is, as many people also note that, is certainly long overdue. The evidence around abuses this unit committed, including our own research, which indicate in at least two instances in November 17th of the last year and January 17th, their big role in leading the crackdown. In the 2 days, 23 people were killed out of the 88 people being killed since the coup itself.
While he supports the sanctions, Osman says they must be part of a package in order to be effective.
And such package should clearly address the calculated nature of this repression. It should also target those on the top, be connected to benchmarks set by the demands of the movement, and ultimately should aim to influence the behavior change of the security forces on the ground, in a way that would provide safe space for protesters to organize, assemble, and of course achieve their goal in achieving the civilian rule.
The U.S. Treasury Department's of Office of Foreign Assets Control, or OFAC, said in a statement that all property and interests in property of the CRP that are in or come within the United States or that are in possession or control of U.S. persons are blocked and must be reported to OFAC. Osman says targeted sanctions are good, but must not be presented as a replacement for accountability when Sudanese police and other security forces commit human rights abuses. Salman Noor is a member of the Sudanese Professional Association Declaration of Freedom and Change in Khartoum. Noor says she is pleased to hear about the U.S. sanctions, but she says the leaders of Sudan's security forces, including police, national security, the rapid support forces, and the military who give orders to repress peaceful protesters must all be targeted with sanctions.
To sanction these forces, it's not enough to stop the violence in Khartoum and in Sudan, because the leaders of those forces are still there and no one asked them and no sanctions on them.
Shadeen Fadl is an activist and human rights defender who has been active in the anti-coup pro-democracy movement in Sudan. She says for years, the Central Reserve Police carried out human rights violations against peaceful Sudanese citizens exercising their civic rights. Fadl says many Sudanese activists associate the Central Reserve Police with terror and brutality.
Once we see them in the streets, we know for sure that actually we are going to lose lives. People might be losing limbs, and that violations, especially against women, and humiliation to the people's dignity is coming on the way when they are seen in the streets.
Fadl says other Sudanese security forces are just as guilty as the Central Reserve Police of committing human rights abuses against unarmed civilians.
While we welcome, as human rights defenders in Sudan, as we welcome the step taken by the U.S. Treasury Department, we still think that there are other security forces that actually are as brutal and as violent as the CRP, including the security services and including the rapid support forces, who have been seen in many times actually and almost in all demonstrations, and that they are part of the security committee of the Khartoum state, where most of the demonstrations actually happen and most of the violations to human rights happen.
Repeated attempts to reach Sudan's police spokesperson, Brigadier General Hassan Tijani Ahmed, for comment went unanswered. On December 31st, Sudan's military-led ruling Sovereign Council issued a statement condemning violence against protesters the previous day, which resulted in several deaths and injuries, and directed the relevant legal and security authorities to address the issue. The council also announced that it had launched an investigation into allegations of rape and other abuses committed against civilians during protests on December 19, which was highlighted in a United Nations Human Rights Council report. Neither the alleged investigation nor its results have been made public. Fadl says regional and international initiatives to restore Sudan's civilian-led government must put front and center security sector reforms, which must be enacted, and human rights abusers must be held accountable in order to create a conducive environment for a democratic transition in Sudan. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.
A delegation from Sudan's southern Kordofan state is in northern Bahr al-Ghazal for talks with the Dinka Malwal. The Minister of Information in northern Bahr al-Ghazal state says Sudanese officials are also in a will to appeal for reopening of the common border between the two countries. Dengai Deng reports for VOA from Bor.
William Anyuan, the Minister of Information in northern Bahr al-Ghazal state, says a delegation from Sudan's South Kordofan state arrived in Awil yesterday. He says the Sudanese delegation is scheduled to hold several meetings that will include leaders of the northern Bahr al-Ghazal state government in a bid to end deadly violence in border communities.
The purpose of their meeting is concerning the peace at the border. Since when that incident happened in Kabul, the state government decided to temporarily close the border so that they get amicable solution for the crisis that happened. So now they are trying to ease that one so that they have a common ground of having peaceful border communities, Meseria and Dinka Malwal.
Anyone accuses the Meseria of dishonoring the resolution from several previous peace dialogue and conferences by attacking communities in northern Bahr al-Ghazal. He says the Sudanese officials are also in a will to call for the reopening of the western border with Sudan. But Anyuan says the border will only be reopened if authorities from southern Kordofan promise to rein in armed criminals, which will help keep the peace among border communities.
Opening of the border is a common interest for all of us, but our concern is this random killing of our innocent people. We are now on their government, the government of Sudan, and the state government of Kordofan, and our state government here to have a concrete assurance that may not be altered by this so-called armed youth, because we need a guarantee. The guarantee will be that if the government will take that responsibility to be accountable, then we will be happy. Because the government will be able to account anything that will happen to their side. And our government here also will be accountable in anything that will happen to our side.
Anyone says a further condition is that the South Kordofan government track and hold to account The perpetrators, who attacked unarmed citizens, burnt their homes and looted cattle in Inupabol village of Awil East County 2 months ago.
These people to be account. We need these people to be account, and it will be up to them on how they will account them. And we need also, there is a lot of properties that they loot, and they also burn all the houses of these people, of our people here. So we need at least to be, so that the accountability should be done to these people. They loot something, they took a lot of things. So now we are urging the people that in case we need peace, we don't want to complicate things. But we need at least to make sure that these people are accountable so that they don't repeat. If we leave them like that, then next time they will repeat and they will still come like that and kill our people.
Lual Bak, residents of Awil Town, commends the governments of Sudan South Kordofan State and the government of Northern Varal Ghazali State for coming together in order to resolve the conflict between the Dinka, Malual and Masiria Arab tribes. Bak says the closed border has adversely affected residents in the area.
I see that peace is the only good thing to do. Now the traders from Sudan stopped coming when the border was closed. When the traders from Sudan come, they are asked to return at the border because there are problems with the people here. So if they are doing peace, then it is a good thing.
In January, authorities in Northern Varal Ghazali State closed the western border with Sudan indefinitely after suspected Masiria Arab tribes men from the Sudanese border town of Mairim attacked in Fobol village of Awil East County. 15 people were killed and many others were injured. Local officials said the criminals burned the entire village. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaiding in Bor.
Some South Sudanese politicians say key tasks necessary for conducting elections in 2013 have yet to be implemented. The head of the Information Committee at the National Legislative Assembly says lawmakers have yet to review the Political Parties Act, which is a prerequisite for conducting elections as required by the 2018 Revitalized Peace Agreement. Sheila Pony reports for VOA from Djibouti.
According to the time frame agreed upon for implementing the 2018 Revitalized Peace Agreement, South Sudan is supposed to hold general elections in February 2023. Albino Akola Tak, Secretary General of the African National Congress, or ANC, says delayed implementation of key provisions in the peace deal, coupled with the lack of a required legal, security and constitutional framework could harm the legitimacy of the election.
The final product of this agreement, 2018 agreement, is actually to transition the whole country to a new era through elections. But before elections, the agreement must be implemented. Within the implementation of the agreement, there is those issues that are actually very important to prepare the ground for credible and free fair elections.
Akola Tak, who also serves as a spokesperson for the other political parties, a coalition of political parties that signed the Revitalized Peace Deal, says among the key provisions that need to be executed before elections is a review of the 2012 Political Parties Act in accordance with international standards to allow for open and democratic registration of political parties. He says his party has been in existence for 7 years. Attack says the ANC is among 14 officially recognized parties registered according to provisions in the Political Parties Act. Asked if the ANC was ready for elections, Albino said his party is legally ready to participate in elections, noting that the ANC has a presence in all 10 states and the 3 administrative areas of Reng, Pibor and Abyei.
ANC is a registered political party among the only 14 political parties that are registered in South Sudan. Using the Political Parties Act 2012, and ANC is the first political party to register in the Republic of South Sudan. It means that it is organized and it is ready or eligible to participate in any elections to come. Agreement of 2018, it says that a Political Party Act must be reviewed, and then those who have not registered must register. It means those who register, which are 14, are already considered registered.
John Agai, chairperson of the Committee on Information, Communication, Technology and Postal Services at the National Legislative Assembly, says that for any political party to participate in an election, it must be registered under the provisions of a reviewed Political Parties Act.
Up to now, I know only five who are in the agreement. Five parties are SPLM, the mother SPLM, whom I came from, and then we have the SPLM IO, we have the OPP, we have the SAWA, and then these political retainees. They are also called parties. They are party by their own because they have a share in the agreement. So definitely these are the colorful parties who are now tasked to implement the agreement. But definitely under them there are many others which I cannot even count this time.
Agani agrees that the Political Parties Act must be reviewed before elections are held. He says several draft amendment bills, including the Political Parties Act, have already been submitted to the Council of Ministers and will soon be taken up by the National Legislative Assembly for discussion.
We have the Constitutional Amendment Bill. It has already been submitted to the National Legislative Assembly at the administrative unit. We will be discussing it and it will get there. Another thing is the security bill, which is also a stand building, and it is still pending because the process did not finish yet from the National Council of Ministers. So I believe it is something of some few articles which need to be amended. So it will not take very long. It will be a matter of 2 or 3 weeks.
Other tasks that must be implemented before elections include the reunification of various forces, the repatriation of refugees and displaced people, a population census, and the creation of a permanent constitution. For VOA News, I am Sheila Aponi in Djibouti.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, three signatories to the South Sudan Peace Agreement are locked up in dispute over the leadership of the unified forces. Find out why after the break.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. And in our health segment, we look at the efforts by Malawi to contain polio. Malawi launched a polio vaccination campaign after the country in February confirmed its first case 30 years after it eradicated the disease. UNICEF, the World Health Organization, and other partners of the Global Polio Eradication Initiative are leading the campaign, which targets 20 million children in Malawi, Zambia, Mozambique, and Tanzania by July. Lamek Masina reports from Blantyre.
The vaccine rollout comes after it was confirmed last month that a 3-year-old girl was paralyzed by wild polio virus in Malawi's capital, Lilongwe. Until February, Malawi had last reported a polio case in 1992. The Southern African country was declared polio-free in 2005, 15 years before the whole continent achieved the same status. UNICEF says over 9 million children are to be vaccinated in the first round of the mass campaign in Tanzania, Zambia, Mozambique, and Malawi. UNICEF said mass immunization will also target children previously vaccinated. Rudolf Shivenk is UNICEF's representative in Malawi. He spoke with VOA via a messaging app.
We need to vaccinate also children who had been vaccinated before, because it takes multiple doses of the polio vaccine to get the full immunization status against polio. And every additional dose helps children get extra protection.
Shivink says if some children are not immunized during the campaign starting Monday, the risk of polio will remain not only in Malawi, but in neighboring countries as well. So far, UNICEF has procured over 36 million doses of polio vaccine for the first two rounds of the immunizations of children in Malawi, Mozambique, Tanzania, and Zambia. In Malawi, the UN Children's Agency is set to administer 6.8 million doses of the polio vaccine to be used in the first two rounds of vaccination in March and April, targeting 2.9 million children. Three more rounds of vaccination will follow in the coming months, covering a total of more than 20 million children from the targeted four African countries. However, in Malawi, some health experts fear the immunization campaign would meet with vaccine resistance, as has been the case with COVID-19 vaccine in Malawi. But UNICEF says efforts were made already to increase acceptance and demand for the polio vaccine among parents and communities.
So we have worked with faith leaders, with high-level government officials. We have spoken to community leaders, and with our partners, we have done sensitization discussions to help them understand the importance of vaccinating their children.
He also says they have distributed information, education, and communication materials across Malawi and aired radio messages about the advantages of the polio vaccine. Dr. Mike Chisema is the manager for the expanded program on immunization in the Ministry of Health in Malawi. He told journalists Thursday that the government was ready for the polio vaccination campaign despite shortage of healthcare workers.
The issue of human resource remains a challenge. It's not just about this particular program of outbreak response alone. But most importantly, we have the teams that are available, our health surveillance assistants, who does this work all the time. It's a question of maybe adding the numbers over time, but we will work to manage with the available human resource on the ground.
In a statement released Sunday, UNICEF said in partnership with the World Health Organization, they have trained healthcare workers in all countries where they are administering the polio vaccine. In Malawi, they have trained 13,500 health workers and volunteers, 34 district health promotion officers. While in Tanzania, Mozambique, and Zambia, they have trained a combined total of about 3,000 healthcare workers. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blantyre, Malawi.
A dispute between the SPLM in government, SPLM in opposition, and the South Sudan Opposition Alliance over the leadership of the country's unified forces is delaying the implementation of security arrangement as stipulated in the revitalized peace agreement. Two military spokespersons say the parties to the agreement have yet to agree on how to share leadership positions in the unified forces. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
With less than a year to go before the end of the transitional government, parties to the 2018 peace deal have yet to fully implement a key provision, security arrangements. The parties disagree over how to share the command structure of leadership positions of the unified forces before the troops graduate from training camps. While SPLM in government wants the graduation to take place, the SPLAIO wants the parties to first agree on the command structure of the forces. The parties finished screening the unified forces earlier this year, but two activities remain unimplemented, graduating and redeploying the unified forces. Major General Lul Rai Kwong, the spokesperson of the South Sudan People's Defense Force, or SSPDF, says a lack of resources and a disagreement over how the forces can be led has delayed their graduation.
Opposition, that's the partners, the agreement, that's the SPLAIO and SWA, are advocating for unification of command before the graduation of the necessary unified force. The second issue is that the head of NPTC is still mobilizing for resources needed to facilitate the graduation of the necessary unified force. So these are two things that are being worked out after which the process will be effected.
Efforts to reach Brigadier Ibrahim Semir David, spokesperson of the South Sudan Opposition Alliance, for comment were unsuccessful. successful. SPLIO spokesperson Colonel Lampaul Gabriel says disagreements over the command structure of the unified forces continues to cause delays in graduating the forces.
The training is completed, but the challenge is here. We cannot graduate this force without unifying the command. So we need to unify the command. And before unifying the command, there is the ratio that needs to be agreed for the position sharing in the high command.
Last week, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, president of Sudan's Sovereign Council, paid an expected visit to Juba and offered a proposal on how to share the command ratio of the unified security forces. Colonel Gabriel says details over that proposal have not been made public.
We still don't know what that proposal says or the details of that proposal. But I believe when that agreement is reached and the high command is formed or restructured, then graduation will happen. Because when these forces are graduated, they're already unified. As we say, they screen, reorganize, and unify. Now, you cannot graduate a unified force and hand them over to a party command. That will not work.
Gabriel says while the SPLIO wants a 50-50 ratio for sharing command of the unified forces, the SPLM in government wants a 60-40 ratio. He says the principal signatories to the peace deal, President Kiir, First Vice President Riek Machar, and Vice President Hassan Abdelbaki Akol, have yet to reach agreement on the leadership and command structure of the unified forces. According to the agreed-to timeline for implementing security arrangements, the parties should have already completed building a professional army and a police and a national security service, among and other forces. Security forces should have also been deployed under arrangements of the Strategic Defense and Security Review Board. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's all we prepared for you this Tuesday. We now end this show with the song Jamila by Ras Corby. We have been listening to Ras Corby and the song Jamila. I'm John Tanzan, Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your homes, phones, and vehicles. Remember to join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Hey,